Welcome to the Daily Orthodox Scriptures, and to day 52 of our journey through the Bible. We are reading through the Scriptures in 1 year using the Orthodox Study Bible. I'm Father Alexis, and today is February 21. Because of their rebellion, the people of Israel have been condemned to wander 40 years in the desert before entering the land. At this point, the time is just about fulfilled, and the adults who rebelled have died. Moses, Aaron, Miriam, Joshua, and Caleb are among the few that have been there since leaving Egypt. Yet, as we will see, the people who are now wandering have forgotten that their troubles are the result of their parents and their own sin. They want to blame Moses for their troubles. We make it difficult for ourselves when we cannot accept responsibility for our own actions and move on. Until we face this reality, we hinder the grace of God from working in our lives and will have little peace or spiritual growth. This is the spot Moses and the children of Israel find themselves in today's reading. Let's begin. Numbers chapter 18, verse 20 through chapter 21, verse 9. Moreover, the Lord said to Aaron, "You shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance in the midst of the children of Israel. Behold, I give the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for their liturgical service, whatever they minister liturgically in the tabernacle of testimony. Hereafter the children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle of testimony, lest they bear guilt and die. But the Levite himself shall minister liturgically in the tabernacle of testimony, and they shall bear their sins. It shall be an eternal ordinance throughout your generations, that in the midst of the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithes of the children of Israel, whatever they may offer as a choice portion to the Lord, I give to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore I say to them, in the midst of the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak thus to the Levites, and say to them, if you receive from the children of Israel the tithe which I give you from them as your inheritance, then you shall remove from it the Lord's choice portion, a tenth of the tithe. Now your choice portions shall be reckoned to you as the grain from the threshing floor and as the choice portion of the winepress. Thus you shall then remove the Lord's choice portions from all your tithes, whatever you might receive from the children of Israel, and you shall give from them the Lord's choice portion to Aaron the priest. From all your gifts you shall remove the choice portion for the Lord, or from all the first fruits that which is sanctified from it. Therefore you shall say to them, when you remove the first fruit from it, then all the rest shall be accounted to the Levites as the produce of the threshing floor and as the produce of the winepress. You may eat it in any place, you and your households, for it is your reward for your liturgical service in the tabernacle of testimony. Now you shall bear no guilt because of it, for you remove the first fruit from it, but you shall not defile the holy things of the children of Israel, lest you die." Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "This is the injunction of the law, whatever the Lord ordered, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and let them bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no defect and upon which a yoke has never been placed. You shall give it to Eleazar the priest, and he shall take it outside the camp to a clean place, and they shall slaughter it before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood and sprinkle it 7 times directly in front of the tabernacle of testimony. Then it shall be burned in his sight. Its hide, its flesh, and its blood with its dung shall be burned. The priest shall then take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast them into the midst of the fire burning the red heifer. After this, the priest shall wash his clothes, bathe his body in water, and come into the camp. The priest shall be unclean until evening. Also the one who burns it shall wash his clothes in water, bathe his body in water, and be unclean until evening. Then a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the red heifer and put them away outside the camp in a clean place, and they shall be kept in reserve for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of sprinkling. It is for purification. Then the one who gathers the ashes of the red heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. It shall be an eternal ordinance to the children of Israel and to the resident alien who dwells among them. He who touches the dead body of any person shall be unclean 7 days. He shall cleanse himself on the third day, and on the seventh day, then he will be clean. But if he does not purify himself on the third day, and on the seventh day, he will not be clean. Whoever touches the dead body of any person who has died, and does not purify himself, defiles the tabernacle of the Lord. That soul shall be destroyed from Israel. He shall be unclean, because the water of sprinkling was not sprinkled on him. His uncleanness is still on him. Now this is the law: if a man dies in a house, everyone who comes into the house and whoever is in the house shall be unclean 7 days, and every open vessel which has no cover fastened on it is unclean. Whoever in the open field touches one who is slain by a sword, or who has died a natural death, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. So for the unclean, they shall take some of the ashes of the burnt offering of purification, put them in a vessel, and pour running water on them. Then a clean man shall take hyssop and dip it in the water, and sprinkle it upon the house and upon all the vessels and the souls who were there, and upon the one who touched the human bone, or the one slain by the sword, or the one who died of a natural death, or the grave. The clean shall sprinkle the unclean on the third day, and on the seventh day, and on the seventh day he shall purify himself, wash his clothes, and bathe in water, and he shall be unclean until evening. But the man who is unclean and does not purify himself, that soul shall be utterly destroyed from among the congregation, because he defiled the holy things of the Lord, and the water of purification was not sprinkled on him. He is unclean. This shall be an eternal ordinance for you. He who sprinkles the water of purification shall wash his clothes, and he who touches the water of purification shall be unclean until evening. And whatever the unclean one touches shall be unclean, and the soul who touches it shall be unclean until evening. Now the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the desert of Sin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died and was buried there. But there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. So the people scoffed at Moses and spoke, saying, "Would we had died in the destruction of our brethren before the Lord! Why have you brought up the Lord's congregation into the desert to kill us and our cattle? Why did you also bring us up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place, a place where nothing is sown, neither figs nor vines nor pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink?" So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the congregation to the door of the tabernacle of testimony and fell on their faces. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord then spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the rod, and you and your brother Aaron gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before them, and it will give its waters. Thus you shall bring them water out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their cattle." So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as the Lord ordered him. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said to them, "Hear me, you disobedient ones. Must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Moses then lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their cattle drank. But the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me to sanctify me before the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land I am giving them." This was the water of contention, because the children of Israel scoffed before the Lord, and he was sanctified among them. Now Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom, saying, Thus says your brother Israel, You know all the hardship that befell us, how our fathers went down to Egypt, and we dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians afflicted us and our fathers. But we cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard our voice, and sent his angel, and brought us up out of Egypt. Now here we are in Kadesh, a city just outside your borders. Let us pass through your country. We will not pass through fields or vineyards, nor will we drink water from wells. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we pass through your borders. Then Edom said to him, You shall not pass through me, lest I come out against you in war. So the children of Israel said to him, We would go along the mountainous area, but if I or my cattle should drink any of your water, I would pay you. But the matter is nothing. Let us pass along the mountainous area. But he replied, You shall not pass through me. So Edom came out against him with a heavily armed multitude and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his borders, and Israel turned away from him. So the children of Israel, the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came to Mount Hor. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the borders of the land of Edom, saying, Let Aaron be added to his people, for he shall not enter the land I am giving to the children of Israel, because you provoked me at the water of controversy. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up to Mount Hor before all the congregation, and strip Aaron of his robe, and put it on Eleazar his son, and let Aaron die there and be added to his people. So Moses did as the Lord ordered, and took him up to Mount Hor before all the congregation. Then Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, and put them on Eleazar his son, and Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. And afterward Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. Now all the congregation saw Aaron was dead, and all the house of Israel mourned for Aaron 30 days. Now the Canaanite king of Arad, who was dwelling in the desert, heard the news, for Israel came by way of Atharim. Therefore he made war against Israel, and they carried off captives from them as booty. Then Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, If you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, I will anathematize him and his cities. So the Lord listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they anathematized him and his cities. Therefore they call the name of that place Anathema. Then they departed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, and they went around the land of Edom, and the people became discouraged on the way. So the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us in the desert? For there is no bread nor water, and our soul is weary of this worthless land. So the Lord sent venomous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the children of Israel died. Then the people came to Moses and were saying, We sinned, for we spoke against the Lord and against you. Therefore pray to the Lord and let him take away the serpent from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, Make a serpent for yourself and put it on a signal pole. And it shall be, if a serpent should bite someone, when the one bitten looks at it, he shall live. So Moses made a copper serpent and put it on a signal pole, and it happened. When a serpent bit anyone, and he looked at the copper serpent, he lived. Psalm 47. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in his holy mountain, well rooted in joy throughout the earth, the mountains of Zion, the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces when he helps her. For behold, the kings assembled, they came together, they saw her, thus they marveled. They were troubled, they were shaken, trembling laid hold on them. There were labor pains, like a woman giving birth. You shall wreck the ships of Tarshish with a violent wind, As we heard, so we saw in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God established her forever. We pondered your mercy, O God, in the midst of your temple, according to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah greatly rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. Encircle Zion and embrace her. Describe her towers in detail. Set your hearts on her power and observe her palaces, that you may describe them to another nation. For he is God, our God. Forever and unto ages of ages he will shepherd us unto the ages. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 21 through 25. But he does not know that the inhabitants of the earth perish beside her, and he happens upon a snare of Hades. But hurry off, do not continue in that place, neither set your eye toward her, for so you shall pass through strange water and cross beyond a strange river, and keep away from strange water, and do not drink from a strange fountain, that you may live a long time and add years of life to yourself. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 19. And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, came to him. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. For he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him, and the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, "You are the Son of God." But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And they went into a house. As we read Mark today, we see that the unclean spirits, in other words, the demons, recognize Jesus and call him the Son of God. And here we see the difference between knowledge and faith. Faith is not simply knowing or believing Jesus to be the Son of God, but choosing to love him and follow him. The demons recognize who Jesus is, but don't love him and have no intention of following him. Those who follow Christ love him. Let me share something from Saint Porphyrios. He said, "If you are in love, you can live amid the hustle and bustle of the city center and not be aware that you are in the city center. You see neither cars nor people nor anything else. Within yourself, you are with the person you love. You experience her. You take delight in her. She inspires you. Are these things not true? Imagine that the person you love is Christ. Christ is in your mind. Christ is in your heart. Christ is in your whole being. Christ is everywhere. One thing is our aim: love for Christ, for the church, for our neighbor. Love, worship of, and craving for God, the union with Christ and with the church, is paradise on earth. That quote is from the book Wounded by Love. If you haven't read it yet, read it. Or if you have, read it again. It's a great book. Tomorrow we will continue our walk with the children of Israel, hear the wisdom of the Psalms and Proverbs, and spend more time with Jesus in our year-long journey through the Scriptures. I'm Father Alexis, and remember, Christ is in our midst.